Good morning. We have so many great things going for us today that it's amazing. Most of you, if you chose, had breakfast. That's good. Some of you are already hungry for lunch, and you're wondering what I'm doing, wasting time. Could be going on with a sermon, and man, let's get that going. And I could name a few names and would hit the nail on the head, but I'll forego that. But we are blessed with so many things here in this congregation. And one of the things that we are blessed with is this new bus that you are hearing about. And so I want to share with you just a note for those of you who are members here. We have a new bus. Have y'all heard that? Okay. If you haven't heard that, we have a new bus. And we are wanting to help defray the cost of that bus with a special contribution, and that's going to be on July the 30th. And if your heart is open to something extra, you hear, let's do what we're supposed to do and then some, that's what we're being asked to do on this. The contribution on July the 30th is going to go toward this new bus. We have some goals for the day. And goals are important to reach out and to do what needs to be done. We're looking for $26,000 from our contribution. We can do that. We can do that. The resources that we have in this congregation, I do not have any doubt. We can do that if you want to be a part of that and will open your heart and your wallet to that. We have a special contribution that will be coming from our young people that are grades 6 and down. And that's been a very special thing that we've done a few times where our young people bring what they have collected and put into a special offering. And we're asking for all of us to help them. And we're looking for them to create a contribution of about $7,000. And so we're looking forward to a great day, every Lord's Day that we get together. But this can be a very special day where we take care of an obligation that we have committed to in the purchase of this bus. Now, for those of you that are clock watchers, start your clock because I'm going to start a sermon here. And I'm excited about talking about a happy father. I am one of those. And I know that we have several in this room that are. I did not get to have a close, loving relationship with my dad. Most of you know my dad died when I was very young. If you're sitting here in this room and you have a dad that is living, be grateful and help that dad be happy. Now, what would make you happy? My children are always wanting to know, Dad, what do you want for your birthday? Well, I'm supposed to tell them something that will really make me happy. Or, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I've gotten to the point where there are so few things that I need, I will usually say something like, well, to Meg and Rachel, when they were young, I was telling them a story about a girl that I had a date with. She had a brand new 1964 Mercedes-Benz convertible, red. She didn't take me out in it. I tried, but it didn't work. But that's what she got for her 16th birthday. And I was talking about that. And so my girls promised me one time when they get a little older, red Mercedes-Benz convertible. So I'm looking forward to that one day. But those things are not going to make me happy for long. I might appreciate them. I might enjoy them. But those are not the things that are going to make me happy. When we start thinking about a happy father, first of all, we need to think about God. What is it from you and me that makes God happy? When does God smile upon Roy Sharp and think, that's my boy? That's my son, and I'm proud. What is it that makes me as a dad look at my children and say, boy, that's my girl. That's my boy. I am so proud. This morning, I want us to think just a little bit about what it takes to make God happy. And I'm going to tell you on the front end, it's not about what we give to God always. It's about what God expects from us as well. God has expectations. Without those expectations, God could not be a happy father. So if you want to be a happy father, start thinking about what God needs in order to be happy. Now, what if I could tell you that there was a way to guarantee that your children will be 5 times less likely to commit suicide, 32 times less likely to run away, 20 times less likely to have behavior disorders, 14 times less likely to commit rape, 9 times less likely to drop out of high school, 10 times less likely to abuse chemical substances, 9 times less likely to end up in a state-run institution? Look at that bottom line. It's the presence of a father in the home. And I'm going to tell you today, I believe this from the bottom of my heart, if we have anybody in this room that is struggling spiritually, your life is not right with God, you've caught up with the world and you've let the world shove you into a mold. It might be lousy language. It might be a lousy attitude. It might be anger. It might be alcohol. It might be some other chemical substance. It might be something in a relationship that you should not be involved in. If you are involved in any of those things, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have the Father in your home. You see, having God, the Father, in our homes makes us much less likely to do any of those things, plus a multitude of other things. And so when we start thinking about God, and we start thinking about our own lives, and we start thinking about what makes us happy, we need a happy Father. He needs to be in your home this morning. Now, if you take a look at some Bible passages, these are Bible passages that tell us that we have the opportunity. We're not forced to. We choose it. We have an opportunity to call out to God. I was reading a psalm this morning in which David was crying out to God. He needed help. He needed protection. He needed a relationship with a father that was capable of helping him in the situation he was in. So he cries out to the Father. You and I are that way every day. And so Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father." We're able to cry out. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 and verse 6. We have the opportunity to have God in our lives. He says, you want a great father in your life. You want a happy father in your life. You bring me into your home. And you live the way I need you to live. And you do the things that I need you to do. Nothing makes a father more happy than a respectful, obedient child. We know that. When there is cooperation between children and parents, great joy occurs in the home. On the part of both children and parents, well, we look at life and we see some misery, don't we? Because nothing is perfect in this world. So how is joy created in our fathers? And what are the qualities that are needed for fathers to be happy? And I'm wanting you today to think about some passages that reveal to us some qualities that God possesses that helps him to be a happy father with you. Without those qualities, God could not be happy. First of all, there's a declaration from God. God says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? In the book of Malachi, if you read that book, it talks about God's people having left God behind. They weren't interested in God. They weren't interested in doing his will. They might go to church And they might offer a sacrifice, you see, in their form of it. The collection plate was passed by. They clunked a coin in, or some, maybe even a little folding money, or maybe a lot of folding money. Because, you see, there are some people that think, if I do something good, God will be happy with me. But it takes more than that. It takes really serious honor for God to be happy. That's a declaration from God. If you are my son, where is my honor? We need to ask ourselves that same question today. We must not take God for granted as our Father. But His requirement for Himself is to demand of you honor and respect and obedience. And when we choose to dishonor, disrespect, and disobey, God cannot be happy. But you see, He couldn't be happy with Himself because He is holy. He is without fault. He could not be happy if He said, listen, it's no big deal. You talk back to mom and dad. You young folks, you just go home and talk back to mom and dad. And you don't give them the right place of honor and respect in your life. You just forget about that. You think God could do that and be happy? Do you think God would say to you, listen, don't worry about what your parents say. You go out and just have a good time. Do whatever you want to do. Be wherever you want to be. Be with whoever you want to be with. You see, God couldn't be happy doing that. Those of us who are parents, if we teach our children that it's okay to dishonor us, to disrespect us, to disobey us, we cannot be happy. So God is happy because of the declaration that He has that His children should honor Him. Those of us who are fathers that want to be happy, we need to do the same thing. But God has a serious devotion toward all of His children this very day. Remember this very familiar passage in Luke 12. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Boy, there are a lot of people sitting in this room today with things just churning over and over in their mind. We need to listen to what God says. Do not have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need all of these things. Now, in that passage and other passages that are similar, please notice that last sentence I put on the screen. God didn't promise to give us everything we want. I have not received a red Mercedes-Benz convertible yet. God didn't promise me that. I don't even want one anymore, I'm thankful to say. But if I did, God didn't promise to give me everything I want. God promises to give me what I need. And God is devoted to me today to helping me receive the things that I need. And if we are going to be happy fathers, we're going to be devoted in that way to our children. But a third thing God must have is a demand. The father's demand that we read about in the Bible is very serious. Here's one of them, and it's a very important one in 2 Corinthians 6, a little part of verse 14 and a part of verse 17. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, most of us preachers like to connect that with marriage, and it's a very good place to connect it. Do not be unequally yoked. It doesn't say don't be yoked. It says do not be unequally yoked. And what happens most of the time, if you look at the beginning of marriage all the way through the Bible, when you have any consideration of who to marry, God constantly warns us about marrying people of a different faith. Because what happens, God says, and experience shows, is that most of the time, it's not true every time, because there are some people sitting in this room that were converted by a godly spouse, and you are so grateful that you had them. But more often, for every one of those, you're going to find others who have taken their spouses away from the Lord. And so we don't want to be unequally yoked together in marriage. But you see, we don't want to be unequally yoked together with ungodly people at work. Those of you who have jobs out there and you go to work every day and you let that person that's ungodly dominate you, dominate your thinking, dominate the way you talk, dominate the stories you tell. And you young people, you go out to school, there's some good looking, powerfully important, positive people out there, and you like to connect with those important people. God is warning you as well. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You sway them toward the Lord. Do not let them sway you away from the Lord. And then it says, you must come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. That's what being holy is about. It's about being different. Not goofy. You don't have to go to school dressed like an idiot in order to be different as a Christian. You go dressed modestly, behaving in a modest way, and people are going to accept you. And we do the same thing at work. We do the same thing in our social activities. We separate ourselves by the way we talk, by the way we act, by the way we worship. We come out from the world and we are separate. God demands that. There's no other way for God to be happy than to make the demand that you and I do what God insists that we do. And if we're going to be happy fathers, we are going to make demands of our children. We're not like families in the world that just turn their children loose to go wherever they want to go, to be with whoever they're going to be with and do whatever they want to do. A happy father is a father who makes demands. And then God could not be happy without discipline. What if we served a God who says, do not take God's name in vain, and we just let the word of God come out of our mouths in unreal ways, in ugly ways, in hurtful ways, bringing condemnation upon other people and just saying the name of God any way we choose? And God says, oh, well, maybe they'll grow up one day. Maybe they'll stop doing that. Maybe just the way things work will get that out of them. Maybe they're just sowing their wild oats. God disciplines. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 is a passage we read often. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. I don't know the ways that God disciplines me in life, but I know he does. I know there are ways in which God is saying, you do not need to go there. You do not need to say that. You do not need to be that. I believe that. God disciplines the people that he loves. And if you young people have parents and a father that disciplines you, give thanks to God. There are many people that believe that God is so gracious that you can live any way you want to and trust in the grace of God and you're okay. Now, Bible teaching, that's not what the Father of the Bible is about. Discipline comes from a heart of love. It never is mean. It is never hateful. It is never vindictive. But it comes because we love you, our children. And it comes from God because God loves us. Boy, God has strong desires. Never be happy without having those desires. Those of us who are parents, we have strong desires. Sometimes our children mistake us and mistake what they think our desires are. I remember when my son went to Fried Hardeman, he signed up as a pre-med major. He had plenty of ability to do that. He quickly decided that was not for him. And he came to me and he said, Dad, I'm changing my major. And he said, the only reason I signed up for pre-med is because that's what you wanted. I said, that's what I wanted. You never heard me say, I want you to go to medical school. He had talked about it, and so I wanted to encourage him if he wanted to. But it was not my desire. necessarily for him to go to medical school. My desire would have been, if you go, you get with it and you do it well. That would have been my desire. God wants every one of us to follow him. He really wants that. His desire is strong for every one of us to follow him. He wants us to be like him. You see, this passage that we read, when we see him, we're going to be like him. God wants that. God wants that. Sometimes I'm frustrated when I see one of my children or grandchildren doing something that I wish they wouldn't do. Doesn't sound good. Doesn't look good. And then Jan will say, "You dummy, where do you think they got that?" And they'll be mimicking an attitude or a behavior of mine that I don't like. That's not what we're talking about. We're wanting to be like the Holy One of Israel. The one who doesn't make mistakes. The one who doesn't make bad choices with regard to friends and places to go and people who influence us in the wrong way. We don't make those mistakes. That God doesn't do that. His desire is for us to be like him. And so we want to be dear children of God that honor him and serve him. The happiest fathers demonstrate all of the same characteristics that we've looked at this morning that God demonstrates in his life. We want great families, but I'm telling you, it doesn't just happen. Problems do not go away in relationships. Doesn't matter what the relationship is, problems don't go away in relationships. And what God wants is for us all to celebrate being a part of the family of God. I love it when I hear my children say, "That's my dad. That's my mom." I love that. For them to be happy to be a part of my family. It would be a sad day if I could ever hear them say, and I don't want to, "I wish you were not my dad. I like the way this dad does and this mom does. I don't want you being my dad anymore." That would be heartbreaking, wouldn't it? You see, sometimes that's what we say to God. "I don't want you to be my dad. Your discipline is too much. Your demands are too much. Your command to honor you in every way, to respect you in every way, and to obey you in every way is too much." And God's heart is broken. And this morning, if you're in this room and you've never been baptized into Christ, God wants you to be his dear child, honoring him, loving him, respecting him. And he could never be happy in that point until we turn to his direction, to his will, to his way. And so I encourage you, if you've been taught that you need to repent and be baptized into Christ, do that today. If you're a child of God and you've said to your dad, "I don't like your way of life. I'm leaving you as my father and I'm going the way of the world." Turn around. Come back to the Father. How about your heart? Is it right with the Lord? If we can help you with a public response this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.